It is a privilege to be here, and we're going to begin reading the Word of God in 2 Kings in chapter 5. It is a story of a man called Naaman, and he was a leper and he was seeking for healing. So 2 Kings chapter 5 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'When this letter come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent out a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the men of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the men of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, that I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." That's all that we're going to be reading this morning. So it is a story of Naaman, and he was a leper. And the chapter begins telling us that he was a great man, that he was a very important man in the land of Syria. But he was a leper. And these talks about how leprosy didn't choose who it's going to go to. He could have been the most important man of Syria, but it could have been somewhere else. And the leprosy goes from man to man, it doesn't matter who you are, basically. And this man had a problem. He was a leper. The leprosy talks about sin as well. And it's a picture of how sin is in every one of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It could be the most important man of Syria, the most important man of the United States. It could be you and it could be me. In fact, sin is in every one of us. But this man, Naaman, he was a leper. He needed to do something for his leprosy. And just as we need to do something about our sin, because sin is in each and every one of us. Last Sunday, we were hearing about how sin is in all of us. Like the Bible reads in Romans that, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And our brother was explaining how, "For all have sinned" means you, me, and everyone else have sinned. And we all have come short of the glory of God. So we all need salvation. We all need God, no matter who we are. So there was Naaman. Imagine, he was a leper. The leprosy was a disease that infects your skin and basically you have bumps, you have wounds all over your face, it's all over you. But he had a problem. We read that this servant came to him and told him how there was a cure. So Naaman knew that there was a cure, but before that, he had to realize that he had a problem. Because you cannot solve a problem unless you know you have a problem, right? And just like we do, we have a problem called sin. So how is it possible that sometimes we forget about it? How is it possible that sometimes we don't feel like we have sinned? Well, I think it's because we get used to it. We hear a lot of bad words that eventually they become natural and we don't even get offended or they sound natural because we get used to it. We see the same sin over and over again that eventually it becomes natural. So I guess that's one of the reasons that we sometimes forget about that we have sin and we just continue our lives like we do. But what would have happened if this man, Naaman, knowing that he had leprosy, just ignored it and just forget about it and just continue his life like he would usually do without the leprosy? Well, eventually this problem would lead him to death. And you see, the problem that we have is called sin. And if you let it happen and you forget about it and you try to live your life like nothing is happening, this problem will eventually lead you to death. And not physical death, but eternal death on the lake of fire. And that's something that it's really important and something that you should not let it pass. So Naaman, back to Naaman. He heard that there was a cure for his leprosy. So he wanted to do something about it. So he took all his possessions. We read that he took 10,000 pieces of gold. I mean, just imagine that. 10,000 pieces of gold. Like, if this was a piece of gold, I don't know how much it was. But imagine this, 10,000 pieces of gold. It was a fortune. Plus that, plus silver, plus clothes. So he really wanted to get saved. He really wanted to be cleaned. But the thing, as we read later on in the chapter, that he could not buy his salvation, his health with that. It was a gift. It was a gift of God that he had for him. Let me remind you again, he is one of the most important men of Syria. Imagine that. And he got all that he had and he wanted to buy salvation. I mean, I don't have a lot of money. I suppose you don't as well. But sometimes we try to buy salvation with works. Coming to church on Sundays. You put whatever you want in that blank that you try to exchange salvation for. But that's not how it works, as we see in the story, because it was a gift. So he got all his stuff and he went to the king and said, and the king, when he realized that Naaman wanted to be healed, he was like, am I God to clean this man from his leprosy? Am I God to do that? And that's another issue that sometimes we as men come to when we want to get saved. We put our side in someone or something that is not God. This man wanted to get saved, but he went to the wrong person. He went to the king. And if you right now here came because of someone that you are looking to, or you go to your house and you pray to something that you're putting your side to, and it's not the Lord, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's great that you want to get saved, but it's more important to put your trust in someone that actually did something for you. And that one is only the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the Bible that there is no name among men where we must be saved. It's only Christ, because if you think about it, Christ is the only one who came, and the only one who is able to save you, to deliver you from your sins, because he was the one who died on the cross, right? So Naaman came to the king, and eventually he knew that the king couldn't get him healed. So he went to Elisha, the prophet of Israel, the man of God, as we read. So he came to Elijah, and Elisha sent out a messenger to him, and he said, go and dive 7 times on the Jordan, and you will recover your skin. You will be healed. So what happened? Naaman got, I guess he got offended, because he had all this big old stuff, his gold, his silver, his clothes, and Elijah sent out a messenger and told him to go dive in the river 7 times. And as we read, he got angry, turned his back, and walked away, because he didn't like that. He had something in his heart, and you know what that is. That is called pride. He was pride. He had pride in his heart. He said, oh, I thought he was going to come out, and he was going to put his hand on his wound and call out the name of the Lord, and he will be saved. What this teaches us is that we have to leave all our stuff behind. All your attempts for salvation, all your pride, you have to humble yourself. You have to accept that the only way you can be saved is through Christ, and trusting in the work that he did on the cross of Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. Eventually, Naaman came to that realization. He talked to his servants, we read, and he went and dived 7 times on the Jordan, and he was cleaned. You see, all you have to do is trust in the Lord and obey. We have here a verse in John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That part right there, that whosoever believeth, that's all you have to do. It's clear, it's simple. But it's simple just because he did all the work on the cross for you. And that's all you have to do. Trust in the Lord as your Savior and believe. And the Bible says you will go to heaven. You will be healed. So I want to ask you this morning, what's stopping you? I mean, if I ask you, are you saved? If you were to die today, where would you go? It's a simple answer, heaven or hell. Are you saved? You can either answer two things, yes or no. Do you have a moment in your life when you turn to God and ask Him for mercy, for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you have that moment? It's either yes or no. If it's yes, I'm so happy for you because the Bible says that you will have a eternity in heaven with Him. But if it's no, then you have an uncertain future because you don't know when you're going to die. And eventually the opportunity is going to be over. This man Naaman, if he didn't pay attention to his leprosy, he would eventually die. And today we are alive, but tomorrow we don't know. And I was just thinking, 10 minutes before you die, there's a almost 100% chance that 10 minutes before you die, you will not know that those are going to be your last 10 minutes in earth. 10 minutes before you die, you probably will have no idea that you are going to pass to eternity. So how are you so confident right now that you will have a lot of days to live? I mean, that was me before I got saved. I wanted to live my life and just trust in the Lord sometime in the future. And I hear that a lot, that I just want to enjoy my life right now. I just want to do this and I want to do that. And, I have a story. When I was in high school, I used to go to a gym. And, well, this gym was like a block away from my high school. It was back there in Mexico. So after school, I used to go to the gym, you know, but it wasn't a great gym. It was just some regular gym. It didn't even have showers. So I used to go after school, and eventually I was like, it doesn't have showers. I have to go stinky to my house. And so I stopped going. And I was like, if I had a gym who had showers, I would probably go. So time passed, and then I finished high school, and I went to college, and I moved out to Guadalajara. So I came to this university, and it was a great university. It had this brand new gym. You know, it was the best gym I've ever went to. So there I am on the first day of classes, and I take my bag, with my clothes, my backpack. But I didn't have a car. I used to take the bus. So I don't know if some of you guys have been to Guadalajara and gotten on a bus in Guadalajara. It's like crowded, like really crowded. So there I was with my bag and all people around me. And I mean, it wasn't a good thing, but I got to go to the gym and it was great. But after a while, you know, I was like, if I only had a car, because I'm carrying my bag and, you know, all these people in the bus, and then I have to carry it all to different classrooms. Okay, so I stopped going to the gym. But later on, I got a car. So I started going back to the gym. So I had my stuff. I put it in my car, went to the gym. I took my gym back to the car and went to classes. But eventually, something else, I don't know, I don't remember what happened, but I stopped going to the gym, you know? And it was like, I was putting an excuse every time. And here I am, a little fat, but here I am. But every choice, every decision that you make has a consequence. And if this is the case with your salvation, that is really dangerous. When I first started going to the gym in high school, I wanted to have something else before I continue with the gym. But when I got it, I wanted something else. I wanted a better shower. So when I got the better gym, I wanted a car. And that's our nature. If right now you are looking for salvation, but you want something else first, when you get that something else first, I'm pretty sure that there's going to be something else that is going to come And you're going to want to do that before you turn to God. But like I said, every act has a consequence. Every action has a reaction. And if you're postposing your salvation, there's probably going to be an, not probably, there is going to be an end to that. Eventually, death is going to come. And that's it. Your opportunity is over. The other day, I was with my wife. We went to, we were driving in, and I realized that it's going to be the sunset. So we drove to Palos Verdes. I don't know if you know where it is. It's like a mountain over there by San Pedro. So we saw the sunset. It was really beautiful. It was the first time that we saw it. So the sun, we watched as the sun came down. And I remembered something that our brother James said one time, that sunset, it's the same sunset that the Lord Jesus Christ saw when he was on earth. And it is the same sun that is going down. And I thought, wow, that's what a day is, when the sun goes down and vanishes. It's night, it's another day. And that same thing has been happening for almost 2,000 years since the Lord saw it. Going down, eventually going up, then going down. And we probably gotten used to it. Because if we really think about it, when the sun goes down and it goes up, it's another opportunity that the Lord is giving you to be saved. And if you are not yet saved, when the sun goes down, you don't know if it's going to come up again. So I want to ask you this again. Are you saved? It's either yes or no. And you cannot lie to yourself. And today is the opportunity, right now. All you have to do is trust and obey. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be saved right now because you don't have to go and dive on the river 7 times. Because you don't have to go and do something else. It's something that happens right here in your heart and here in your mind. When you realize that the Lord died for you and that you only have to do is trust in him and in his work. I guess salvation could be resumed in God is holy, he's perfect, we are not. We need to be cleaned in order to be with him. So how do we do that? We can't. That's why the Lord came down to earth and he gave his life for you and for me. And he shed his blood. He was nailed on the cross and he shed his blood to pay for the redemption of your sins. By trusting in him and the work that he did on the cross, you could be saved. You could be clean. That's what the Bible says. And if you do that, if you trust in Jesus, if you make it personal, I'm pretty sure you know that he died. But when you make it personal, when you realize that you are a sinner, and you put your trust in him, you recognize that he did everything, that he was in your place, that he paid the price that you would have to pay. And when you put your trust in him, the Bible says that you will be saved. Repent from your sins and just put your faith on the one who died for you. And you will be on your way to heaven. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that for that sacrifice that he did on the cross. We know, Father, that we are not deserving, but we know that thou lovest the world so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. We want to thank thee for that sacrifice and for the opportunity that we have now to get saved and to be with you for eternity. We want to ask thee, Lord, for thy blessing for the rest of the day, And we thank thee once again for letting us be here today. All that we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.